This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Welcome to Candyland. My name is Keen.
I got good teeth, a fat ass, and a can-do attitude. I'm James.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. Happy 2022.
Happy Rue Year. Woo! That actually was last year's branding, so let's not get it twisted, people.
I mean, you started it strong. With contracting COVID.
I have peaked early. This is it. 2020 is a gift. You might notice my gorgeous dulcet tones in this episode being brought to you live from the Omicron variant of COVID-19.
Yeah, this was supposed to be an Instagram live, but James didn't think he would have the chutzpah do the Instagram live with COVID, so we are here in pre-record live.
Yeah, I'm going to be a much more muted individual this evening, I have to say, which will be good for levels.
I would have to compress the audio as much. That's a joke that only audio editors will get. Today we're going to be meeting the queens of season 14. 14 queens of season 14. They presented us their Candyland-themed runway promo looks. And gave us a bit of a chat talking head to see what we think, what we think of the cut of their jib. So yeah, we're going to predict who we think are going to be the final four, all the usual shite that we normally do. So let's
get into it.
Right, well, I've written mine down in alphabetical order because that's the way they came in the video.
I believe I also, because that's the way that they came in the video, so that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that is good.
Super. So your first one is Angeria Paris Van Michels, a.k.a.
Angie. Yeah. I got very... I know that we don't like doing queen comparisons, but you know what? It's easy for a guy with COVID, so I'm just going to do it. It's like Chi-Chi Devane meets Heidi and Closet. That's the vibe I get off her. And I do think that she is going to have just as much of the fan favorite potential as both of those queens. Really enjoyed her. I think I 80% loved the look and 20% hated the fins stuck on the side of it. But I thought it was a gorgeous red and yellow with all the crystals and stuff. So overall, natural spark to her. I really enjoy her.
I loved the line, the Southern Belle from the ATL. I thought that was clever.
I like that.
Branded her straight out the gate.
Yeah.
It's funny, we say this every time we do the Meet the Queens. When you're trying to gauge how well they're going to do, I end up just judging more on a sort of confidence and a sort of all-roundedness of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked her, but I didn't think she'd go that far.
I've got a different interpretation.
You didn't like her and you think she's going to win.
No, exactly. No, I really did like her. I thought that she was funny. I thought, because another thing I was sort of thinking about, because it's this, if I think back about our previous Meet the Queens, things that kind of annoy me is when queens just sort of scattershot catchphrase and they're a blunderbuss of I'm the bitch of the season, but I'm also a sweetheart and I never start fights, but I'm going to come for you. It's like this.
And I'm out of the trade.
Yeah. And I was with her, I was no, she was giving me very consistent. I could see who she was. I understood what sort of a queen she was going to be. I liked the vibe she had. And, you know, I just thought that she was... What's it? She talked about how she was speaking it into existence or something like that. I can't remember. I thought that she came across as really confident and also really just natural in front of the cameras, which made me think that she's going to be someone who might not be too phased. So I could see her going quite far in the competition.
See, I guess I just end up sitting in this in my, faux... counselor's chair. I got a sort of bit of vague panic behind the eyes. That's why I was kind of I kind of got a bit of a, I didn't do well in the season, so I really need to impress in this talking head if I'm going to have any bit of a shot. That's the impression I get. But she seems pageanty. She's a mua. She has a great personality. I mean, I think she has everything to do well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of me being if you've done this after you've performed, after you've already done the show,
I think they record this on the second day before anyone's gone home. I think they do the walk-in thing, and who knows when they do it. They have to do it a certain... Anyway, let's not get into the weeds and the production side of it, but I don't know. I had thought that they recorded it sort of before the rest of the season was done. But we shall see. time and truth will tell all. As the inevitable, indomitable Lauren Conrad once said.
When you were talking about speaking something into existence, did you see that Boa got into some trouble online recently? Boa, bitch on arrival from Drag Race Canada season one?
No, I did notice. I think I saw like a Bussy Queen video that I didn't watch pop up.
Oh, well, on New Year's Eve, she said, I might just tweet RIP Betty White and see what happens. And then several hours later, Betty White dies.
OMG. BOA speaking the DOA into existence.
So better be careful what you tweet, people. So she put up an Instagram story saying I might tweet that. That's what, and then yeah. So Lemon tweeted a funny like timeline of like of all those different steps, but yeah, quite funny. Next up is 26-year-old Puerto Rican Alyssa Hunter. I think it's really exciting to have a Puerto Rican back in the sort of main franchise, because we've only really got reoccurrences of them on All Stars, and there was such a like great list of them, really talented queens. It was one every season and they kind of just all dropped off, so I'm glad the tradition is back.
Me too, 100%. I really liked her also, like, because the last couple of like Puerto Rican queens there was like were kind of like had Puerto Rican heritage but like were based in the US, whereas Alyssa seems really kind of like you're right, a throwback to those queens from those earlier seasons. What I think is really important for her is that her like, and you know, her English seems really solid, which means hopefully she's not going to get that storyline that Puerto Rican queens often get of the like kind of misunderstandings and stuff. Like, she seemed very confident. I like that the fact that she referred to herself as an artist when she is like the pretty girl kind of look made me like her more, because I was like, oh, you're okay. Like, the fact that she's sort of taking it seriously rather than playing dress up. On that side of things though, fucking hated her look. I thought it was horrible.
I don't know, I kind of liked the sort of superhero element of it all.
Oh, like all that like horrible straps up her legs and the colours all over the place and the weird bit in the head and the, like that wire hanger sticking out the back with some hair tied onto it. I didn't enjoy it. I thought there was too much going on.
It didn't goop me, it didn't gag me, it didn't knock me off my chair, but I was like, yeah, that looks polished, it looks like well put together. Looks like somebody who would have a bit of budget.
Well, in my current state, I'm having trouble relaxing my throat, so I was not gagging. I was gagging on the smell. I can't even remember what Queen said that.
Widow and Raja, you're combining the two. Yeah. She seemed like a real all-rounder. She spoke about how her mom was a pageant queen. You know, she's talking about how she could really bring the drama. So I think this is somebody who could be entertaining on and off the runway in the main challenge in Untucked. And again, I thought she sat there with a real sort of confidence that I think she could be top four material.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she goes far. Don't think she'll make it all the way to the top. On the one note with her and a couple of the other ones, I do think that they would be better off, the producers, giving the queens the kind of like talking head questions a bit more ahead of time so they can think about them. Because this question, like this recurring question of like, what's the strangest thing about you? That's something that you, given some time, could come up with a funny answer to. But in the moment, you're never going to come up with anything that's particularly kind of like, you know, funny or entertaining. Like her thing of like, oh, I eat a lot, but I never put on weight. You know, it was like, because there was a couple of them that they asked that to, and they were like, oh, I don't really know what the strangest thing about me is, you know, but I haven't had time to come up with anything. So I did think that. I don't see her going to the top four, but I do see her going far in the competition.
I guess they gave it to them in the moment because that will really sort the wheat from the chaff from the actual personality queen, so we'll be able to give you a good answer straight away to the Aiden's.
But this isn't a challenge. This is like making a shop window for the show. This is where you want to have the people at their best. Give them the opportunity to present, like, this is what the season's going to be about. Give them, like, if this was a part of a challenge, then fair enough. You want to see how you can react in the moment. But this isn't that. This is where, you know, you're wanting to kind of actually put together like a promo that's going to attract people to come and watch. So if there's kind of a bit of humming and hawing, oh, I'm not really sure, then does that undermine your confidence that it's going to be a good season? I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
bringing back hashtag just saying for 2022.
I get your point, but also I think sometimes you can tell when it's like the Vogue 72 and a half questions, whatever they do. Like, you can tell that they're so rote and like prepared that, I don't know, it just feels a bit inauthentic. But yeah, I get your point. And I guess they do edit it favorably for all of them.
Yeah.
But I just kind of thought there should have been more questions. Like, I do, like, asking the same question to everybody is kind of good because you can compare and contrast, but also you're just like, the format of all 14 of them was so similar that you're like, okay, now there's a little cutaway bit where it goes to black and white and we see the clacker board, and then they're going to speak about what it means to be on season 14. Like, every single one of them, same formula. So that bored me more so than
waiting around. Yeah, that is answer. True. That is true.
So you're saying fire, but not top four. I'm saying top four. So we'll see for Alyssa Hunter. Next is the Irish kids television host, Bosco,
who has grown up to be a smug, conceited little bitch.
Okay. We're getting a thumbs down for Bosco?
No, we're getting like a middling for him. I found them kind of annoying. And overconfident. And I wasn't able to, like, I wasn't sure if that was masking insecurity or whether that was just that they were kind of, you know, actually that sort of full of themselves. Like, there was a couple of funny things, like when she said about how she drew her, she had the distinctive way of drawing her eyebrows so that she could tell herself, so that she could be told apart from other white twinks doing drag. I was like, that was a funny line. I liked that. And I did pretty much, I liked the look she was wearing. I think that obviously it like the gown, like the sort of column gown and the red ribbons, mostly made for like standing up, so she looked very uncomfortable when she was trying to like lean into that chair. But yeah, I also did use her quote at the beginning of the episode about having good teeth, a fat ass, and a can-do attitude. So she had some funny lines, but I found her sort of overconfidence a bit frustrating.
There was a strange sort of slut narrative that was going on for a bit that didn't make much sense.
That seemed to go on for a lot of them as well.
Yeah,
you know, it's like this is the new thing that we can all like. It's like, look, you know, being a slut's not that exciting for a gay person. It's basically all our we are. It's our personality.
It's our star sign. Yeah, I don't know. I got really excited just because she was from Seattle. And it's like, you know, the great pedigree of queens who've been on the show from Seattle. And we haven't had one since season 8. And I liked all three of them. Obviously, Robbie Turner was the least exciting for me, I guess. But I'm kind of just shoehorning her into that Ben and Jinx box, and I'm excited to see what will come from it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like as if she's a very different type of queen to the queens. Like, the other queens we've had from Seattle have all been quite similar. She seems like a very different queen. Like, has a certain element of that campness and a certain element of that kind of, you know, alternativeness to her. but definitely wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't see them in that, like, performer lane that I would have Jinx and Dayla in, and Robbie to a lesser extent.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get to see their theatrical credentials in this talking head, but that's not to say they're not there.
I would say that there was enough queens coming from the same locations as past contestants where they specifically referenced the past contestants that they are drawing comparisons to people if they are like within the vicinity to like try and build that. The fact that they didn't mention Jinx and Dayla suggests to me that this queen has a very different flavor to them and that they didn't want to draw that parallel.
Okay. Right. I guess we'll see. I think that Bosco will go fire though. I think that's a name that we'll be speaking for several weeks more.
I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Next up, 25-year-old Missouri head, Daya Betty. First thing I thought was, oh, very like Crystal Method. I think Crystal Method's also from Missouri. And then, of course, Crystal Method's mentioned to be the drag mum / sister. Apparently, first person to put her into drag was Crystal Method. So I would have thought that was mother. But and maybe it's just sister because, as she mentioned, Crystal Method does not like being called mother. A lot of confidence. You could even see the Crystal Methodisms in the lips. I hope for Daya that they are going in there with the confidence of the love the Crystal Method had, which I don't think Crystal Method knew they were supported that much the whole way through. And I think they could do really well.
I don't. I think that they'll be one of the first outs. I thought that the look was a bit all over the place. The kind of patchwork superhero bit with the ribbons and then the bit of kilt and the like shoes that were really ugly. And the wig kind of just like bunched on top with the ball. Like there was too many different ideas that all need to be picked apart. It did look sort of like it was very much like it felt sort of very much like, oh, I'm going to do drag like Crystal Method. I don't know. I like didn't take like I think that they seemed very like they seemed like a lovely person. I thought this was a person where I saw panic behind their eyes. And okay. I could tell that they probably like, I don't know. I don't know. I think that I would not see them going very far. I had very limited, with the exception of their connection to Crystal Method, I had very limited sort of interest in them.
That's funny because I saw them at ease. Now, I did really dislike the hair, the coiffed mohawk with the shaved sides. Didn't really like it. But I don't know, I just got funny, confident, and... like out of the box thinking, so I was like, that could do really well. So
I thought,
I don't think we've agreed on any of these.
No,
yet.
I don't think we have. It'll be interesting to see when we get to our like who our top three and our first outs are, like what we're actually going to who we're going to end up with. I think that once you get later on the list, we'll agree on a couple of people, both negatively and positively. but next is Deja Sky.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited for Deja Betty. And like you say, yeah, Deja Sky is next. What'd you think of her?
Loved her. Loved that puffy yellow dress. Thought she was gorgeous. Seemed real all-rounder. Like, big personality. I just really enjoyed her. I thought she was funny. I, like, enjoyed the bit where she was, like, stuttering in the video. And she was able to, like, turn that around into kind of something that felt like, she was very funny. I don't know. I really liked her. And I just loved the look. I thought it was just so, so fun. And she made it herself, which means I'll be excited for her in design challenges.
Yeah, she seems like a real like top class seamstress. I thought she had a really natural charisma. I got quite a bit of Rock-M Sakura off that, just that instant charisma bomb. But although I like her, I'm not sure she's going to do well because when she was asked, she just was like, well, I'm just here to have fun. And that to me is like red flag central of an early out.
Yeah, I'm just here for the experience.
Yeah, those 2 days I was on set. So I'm worried. It's not because I don't like her. It's because I don't think she's good. I just think based on her attitude in the Meet the Queens, she seemed a bit cautious. Because maybe, like, obviously she's a good seamstress and there's a lot of design challenges, but maybe she... But it's hard to see what she would struggle at, to be honest. But
hair, apparently.
Hair... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's just somebody who's prone to getting in their head. But yeah, she seems to be like the TP.
I see her as a real all-rounder. That's what I've literally, that is what I've written here in my notes. All-rounder.
yeah, but it's just the answer to some of the questions is what's made me put her as a reasonably early out. So we'll see. Jasmine Kennedy was here. I watched Bussy Queen's... video on them and they seemed pretty impressed by her. I thought she was filled with nervous laughter. I kind of thought she was kind of painting herself like Aquaria to a certain extent. Like, oh yeah, she says she can dance, she can act and she can sew, but she did not fill me with confidence that she knew what she was going to do. Now we did see in the sort of the runway walk with the arcades, she gave us like flips and splits and stuff, so maybe she could be somebody who's like a three-time lip syncer before she goes out, but I don't have high hopes.
No, I definitely saw the Aquaria comparison 100%. I thought that she was beautiful, the backflipping bimbo thing. So I thought that in the video where she was speaking, the outfit, the dress that she was wearing was gorgeous with like the sort of gold grommets and like the brown real leather Grecian. And the pink and the real Grecian bit. But then in the like actual photograph, it sort of with the stuff on the bottom, it all looked like, I don't know if that like had just been consistent fabric going right around. It was all just a bit sort of curtainy or something. I liked her. I wouldn't like, I didn't love her. But I kind of, yeah, I think that she could be that sort of young ingenue who comes in there and surprises it all by like being like Aquaria and Gigi Good and being just like super well-rounded. The way she like went out of her way to point out how she could, like, I can do a ballad, I can do, like, I'm not all just, I might have been, like, talking about my dancing, but I can do ballad. Like, she's obviously confident enough in her performing style, but she is very young, and also she got that Chatty Cathy kind of, like, multiple fades in and out of interview bits that made me think, oh, they're kind of setting her up a little bit.
Yeah,
I want a bit of a Miss Fame, how's your head moment going on.
It's funny how I was like, 22, she's so young, she's definitely in her head. And then we move on to the next queen, Georgia, who's 21. I was like, oh, she's so confident. She's not in her head at all.
Oh my
so.
God, we are really not agreeing on anything.
Now, look, I thought she did come across awkward, but like there was a bit of a but like, I didn't think she felt insecure.
I thought she just felt a bit like I would have said that she felt like she was in over her head. I got the impression of someone who maybe was a bit kind of like a rabbit in the headlights off her. Like, I literally like I found her video a bit flat. I had her very much in my first to go thing. I also didn't really love, to be honest with you, I'm gonna say this. I don't think I loved whatever the theme was for this particular thing.
Candyland?
But like I didn't get that even from any, because some of the color choices were weird. I didn't really enjoy the overall theme that the girls had to work with for putting together the look. So a lot of the looks I didn't really love. And hers was one of them, that kind of like Vegas showgirl Moulin Rouge sort of
I didn't like it. Hers is one of my least favorite looks as well, especially like the nets on the arms. Strange.
Yeah. I just wasn't mad into her, to be honest with you. I don't know if
I was mad into her either. Like, I felt the difference between Jasmine Kennedy and her was I felt she had a lot of confidence, but not a lot of experience. I felt that's kind of where she was in over her head. But she seemed to be really like unflappable, and she had fun references, and she seems to maybe want to bring the drama. So I actually think she'll go reasonably far, but in a sort of River Medway kind of way.
Good for poor old River. Poor old River.
No, I'm saying that in a good, like, she'll go reasonably far, but like in an unvarnished way, you know, just true natural charm.
Yeah. Unbridled. Just charm and charisma will carry her
somewhere. Whereas I could see Jasmine sort of like being a ticking anxiety bomb over the first few episodes, then going home.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, who do I fucking think I am? Sigmund Freud? But anyway, here we are. Critiquing these people. And like, notoriously, we're always wrong. I'll definitely pick somebody in my first four who'll go home in the first two episodes. So, and we'll see.
Well, yeah, no, I'm excited to get to that point so that we can sort of see how wrong we are, as we always are, indeed.
June Jambalaya, are you a fan?
I'm going to qualify this by saying I actually think that like she is super confident. I really like the look, and I couldn't decide. I fell like totally down the middle between whether she was going to be a queen who totally faded into the background in a sugarcane kind of way, or like a silent killer in that kind of like Asia O'Hara Crystal Method way. Because I just couldn't get a read on, like, seems very confident, very competent, kind of, you know, like, focused, galvanized, but I wasn't able to read much of her. So I'm like, I either is going to be someone who just completely vanishes into the background, or until like literally like top six or top eight maybe, and then you're like, oh, that person's still here, and then just as you realize they're still there, they go home, or someone who'll make it all the way to the top, like, and anyway, that's my read on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, I've written the least about her than anybody. It came across very timid and quiet, but like that, incredibly confident. Kind of like, I don't even need to play your stupid game of breaking catchphrases, because I'm here to do my own thing and I'm going to do well. So it was definitely a different tactic in the video, and I don't know whether that was by choice or not. Like, I think I remember for season 12, Aidan Zane definitely stood out in the talking heads, just because they gave us a really sort of straight up, like, you know, I'm being interviewed for a true crime podcast sort of style delivery that June Jambalaya has given us. But then if you look at the, I don't know, what's going to call it, the reveal walk, like the one with the arcade machines, and she gave us like June dangling off her fingers and stuff. So I think she does have a real big personality in there.
See, because I loved her. I loved her look in this one with the kind of the two tone stuff and the kind of rhubarb and custard colors. But I felt that there was an awful lot going on in that runway walk, because it was like you had the like gingham-y dress yoke and then the June hanging from the fingernails and then this cape and this like bodysuit that seemed like it didn't really fit. So I was kind of like, I just was looking at that outfit and going like, there's where she had come across, particularly because she talked about like being a visual merchandiser. I kind of assumed, oh, she's gonna have a really precise, and like her look even in the thing gave me an idea of, like, this is someone who's gonna have a very precise and like understand the way they want to be perceived. Whereas that look for that runway walk bit, I was kind of like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Because her standout ability was clearly lacking in the video in terms of like in a big crowd of 14, will she stand out? I don't think she's going to make it to the top four, but I definitely think she'll make it past Snatch Game.
Yeah.
Kerry Colby is up next, and she gave me really like rich woman confidence.
Yes. Also important to mention, as there is a subject we'll be getting into later on in the conversation, that this is the first of two trans women taking part in the competition. So the first ever trans woman to be cast on the first of two trans women.
And like transitions trans women.
Yeah, well, so sort of like status, out, but sort of, you know, yeah, post, yeah, 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 kind of like post revealing their transition to be cast on Drag Race. So that is a massive step forward for the franchise, mm-hmm. particularly after Gottmik last year. It's great to see that. I really liked her. I loved her kind of like weird burn book pins kind of pink outfit. Thought she was gorgeous. Had a hell of a lot of confidence, and obviously comes from like a very strong drag heritage, the Colby.
Absolutely. And the beat was fantastic. Like, she looked so glamorous, and
yeah,
there was she couldn't put anything, couldn't falter anything. Like, she immediately gave me Dahlia Sin, which I guess is a read, but it's not intended to be. It was just more that sort of like glamorous Rita Ora kind of, you know, power dance queen.
Wow, you really hate this queen.
He's Dahlia Sin and Rita Ora.
And Rita Ora.
Dahlia Sin reminds you of Rita Ora. But yeah, Rita Ora is just like, just like drips wealth, regardless of whether she's likable or not. Kerry manages to have like the wealth and confidence of Rita Ora with still the personality of Adele, so it's fine.
I really enjoyed the fact that when she was asked about being on, she was like, oh my god, to be on the same show as RuPaul, the icon, the legend, I never would have worn blonde hair if it hadn't been for Ru. I was like, there, that's it. Yeah. That's Ru's lasting legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, what else can you say? Like, this is somebody who's laser focused on the finale, and like,
I think it's going to get there.
Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah, I feel like it's actually her and Cornbread coming up next, who are my two absolutely like boxes ticked for the top four. That's it.
Okay, yeah, I loved Cornbread as well. Like, again, absolutely fantastic personality. I love when she was talking about how she never does a song over 3.5 minutes, and she just gets the Uber lined up and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fantastic. Hard not to compare to Silky Nutmeg Ganache in a way, but kind of has managed to shed the
messiness,
arrogance that kind of came across with Silky sometimes. Really goofy, but also not afraid to be vulnerable. Another LA queen. I love her. However, despite that I love her, I just don't see her in the top four for some reason.
I see her in the top four. Absolutely. I loved her. And I have to specifically call out her, like, the arcade runway thing that looked like she was one of those girls walking out on Deal or No Deal with the little suitcase. Like, I thought she was so funny and so natural. I loved, like, the massive long nails and how expressive she was with them. Like, I just felt like she has, like, all of the charisma, very contained, feels like she's funny, able to perform. I would be absolutely shocked if she isn't, like, seriously, not just in the top four, but like a serious contender for winning.
Well, I just had her down, not in the top four, just based on the usual biases that the show has against bigger girls and the challenges, like there'll be dancing challenges. I don't know how good of a seamstress she is. She didn't seem to mention it. But like, in terms of the personality, there's no reason why she, and how much I like her, there's no reason why she can't be top four.
Yeah.
I did like that she said she, you know, the first big girl to win, but she doesn't want to win just because she is a big girl. I mean, I think that was, I think that means, you know, she's very intelligent. I think she's going to be bringing us some words to digest.
Exactly. I think she will. She does. She feels as well. You're exactly like a queen who's going to give us some very thoughtful mirror moments, as well as being able to bring us some like fun workroom kind of silliness. So I'm excited.
I think it's important that she's already shown us both the goofy and the vulnerable side in a talking head already, which I think will work really well for her.
Yeah.
Next is the joint eldest queen with Deja Skye is Lady Camden.
I'm not going to even bother remembering this name.
I mean, my question to you was, would she stand out in Drag Race UK?
No, she wouldn't even get cast in Drag Race UK.
No, she wouldn't. So the only thing that gives me a glimmer of hope is that she's a trained ballerina. Or is it a ballerino for a boy? I don't know. But yeah, I thought timid, lacked
or
confidence.
Or just a ballet dancer. Why gender it, Keane? Why gender it?
Well, it's Italian, I guess. But yes, a ballet dancer. Yeah.
Meh, boring, British grit, question mark, full circle. They're the notes I wrote for her.
What was it that didn't appeal to you?
What was it that didn't appeal to me was, like, the personality was very put on, like, sort of over the top, and there was just a real sense of someone who was trying to be what the person in front of them wanted them to be. So if you put them, like, especially putting them next to someone like Cornbread, you know, or like Angie in the first thing, is someone who's like very much, this is just me, this is who I am, it's going to roll out of me. Lady Camden came across as being very sort of smug, full of themselves, but also incredibly anxious about, like, being, like, presenting the right thing. So that's what I felt. I just didn't warm to her at all. And I felt like a lot of what she was saying was just about how great she was. How, like, oh, I came from London and I'm like, you know, and I'm so gritty because I'm an English queen and now I'm here and I'm an LA queen and I'm one of the best. And it just was all a bit like, oh, stop.
Yeah, the reason I know I didn't warm to her is because I got quite excited when I heard, cause I don't know how I'd seen the names of the queens, but I didn't know she was actually from the UK. So I got excited because I was like, oh, we had only American queens last year. I really like Nikki Doll. I kind of like, and I loved when Charlie Hyde was in it. It just gives another flavor when you have another country in there. And I know we're seeing Drag Race from all over the world at the moment, but I kind of like when there's just a mixture of cultures going on in the show. So I was like, oh, this will be really cool. And even by the end of the segment, I was like, God, I'm not that interested. And she's the only one that I skipped the full thing. Yeah. So I just... She had all the hallmarks of somebody who I don't think is going to go very far. Not only did I feel she lacked confidence and she didn't keep me entertained, I also don't think she gave me the sort of panic behind the eyes, the sort of, right, I really have to make a good impression now, what should I say? And it's just so strange that, like, she's one of the eldest. Maybe she's been doing drag not as long as the others, but it just didn't hit.
No, it didn't hit. It did not hit.
Didn't hit, no. Next... Something that did hit? Well, hit the
certainly
tabloids.
Certainly hit the headlines.
Maddie Morphosis.
Sitting there.
Take it away first.
Looking like Pink Angina in all his cisgendered, man-spreaded, heterosexual finery. Okay. I'm going to separate the art from the artist for a moment here, and I'm going to say that as a drag queen... I loved the look. I thought it was really fun and interesting. They seemed to have confidence. They had like that kind of, that self-assuredness that straight men get to have. Now, in terms of like this whole controversy about like a straight man being on Drag Race, I think that initially my reaction was kind of like, oh, this is terrible coming into our safe spaces. But then I don't know, I watched, so there's a drag queen called Helvetica who did a great video talking about this, and it was really interesting because I suppose it, like their experience sort of mapped my own, where kind of I had this reaction of like, this shouldn't be allowed, this is a space for queer people, straight, and then kind of like when I questioned and dug a bit deeper into why I thought that, I was like, oh, it does feel like an assault on a safe space, but when I step back and look at it, actually the reality is that, you know, drag is for anyone. There were straight drag performers that have existed. We would be celebrating this if it was a straight woman coming into the show, so why not a straight man? And as well as that, sort of one of the things that Helvetica mentioned in their video about this was that sort of the queer identity is a sort of a privilege you get from straightness is a privilege that comes around with passing. So me, and I would say you, Kin, in general, walking down the road, wherever we are walking, would probably get a certain amount of that straight privilege because we don't look, carry ourselves in a particularly... So, but this is a sort of a relatively twinkish-looking, sort of campy-ish guy living in backwoods of the US who, when they are like in Arkansas or something,
yeah,
who, when they are sort of out in town, when they are performing in drag, it's not like a bigot is going to see them and ask, oh, are you gay? And they're going to say, no, I'm straight. And then they're going to go, oh, well, about your business, sir. So, I don't know, like, I'm reserving judgment a little bit. I'm not annoyed about them being cast. I was a little bit like raised eyebrow when they were like, oh, hopefully this inspires other straight men to apply. Because I certainly don't want like this to be kind of something that gets fully taken away and sort of, you know, the queerness washed out of it. But I'm okay. That's my thesis on the subject. What about you?
Well, first of all, I thought it was really interesting seeing them there. Like, even the way they sat. And you get a tiny bit of Orion's story later on, but it was like, it was proper, like, lad at the pub on a bench, just, like, legs apart.
Yeah.
You know, like, it really was... It just was so funny. And even the way they were talking, I was like, God, this guy is so straight. Like, you know, not even ambivalent about it. He's just, like, this straight, nerdy, like, nice guy, it seems. I thought that was really funny. I could tell, like, you know, they seemed really well-versed on the culture.
That
they
was something really well, I noticed as well, yeah.
You know, and they said, I'm the first cisgendered straight person on the show, which means, of course, like someone like Kylie Sonic Love is heterosexual because they fancy men and they're a woman, so like they're technically straight, but they're just trans. So, you know, he's actually the first cisgender person, which I think is a distinction that lots of the publications didn't make. So I'm here for it. I think it's interesting. I think... It's like a conversation we had about straight people in gay bars. I think once you're there and you're not taking over the space, I think it's perfectly fine. I think, unfortunately, because of the world we live in, it will give a validity to certain people that there's also straight men doing it for people who have sort of a residual homophobia. So I have no problem with them being there. I loved their reveal look. With the
everlasting gobstopper ball things.
Sort of I just think of Ashniko, like with that sort of headset, like that just kind of like anime sort of big sort of headpiece, or there's some like doll that's like it as well. So I'm just really excited to see what sort of character they're going to be in the show. I'm really excited to see how they're going to interact with the other queens, and I'm really excited in their point of view.
Yeah, that's the one thing I suppose. Like, I mean, going into this competition as a cisgendered straight guy, perhaps one of the disadvantages that they may have is not actually understanding how to present themselves in that like feminine way that like is sort of almost like wanted or desired in terms of like how Drag Race specifically wants its drag presented. Because you hear stories in the workroom every year about all of the queens, like, oh, my mother and I walked in her heels, and like that tends to be a very recurring story. This kind of like this like association or fascination with like femininity as like a source of power or a source of beauty that he, as a straight guy who got into drag over the last number of years, so he may be at a disadvantage for that. However, I'm excited to see what it is he brings to the competition. I wouldn't like necessarily be a huge fan of like this being kind of like, okay, and next year there's two straight men, and then there's three straight men, and then before you know it, it's an all straight season. Because I do think it's important. It's not going to happen.
If they have a token straight every year, I have no problem with it, and they can, you know, even if it's, you know, even better if it's a woman. So I don't really mind.
The other thing that I would be annoyed about is if this one straight guy being on the show now suddenly validates the entire thing in the eyes of straight men, and suddenly straight men, because of this one person coming into it, seems like, oh, this is a thing that now is accepted, when, like, it's got this history and heritage and it goes much further than just...
But that could that could very much happen. But yeah, that would be annoying. But the upside of it is it will mean more money into the pocket of drag queens, which are predominantly a queer audience.
That is true. That is true. Let's say that we hope Maddie does well. As a queen in the competition, I don't think they'll be an early out. I don't think they're getting to the top four. I would see them sort of somewhere in the middle of the competition.
I think they'll probably be gone before Snatch Game, to be honest. I mean, I don't know how versatile they're going to be. Like, but I'm really interested in them. Like, one of the challenges based on the rumors on Reddit is the Night of 1,000 Jennifer Lopez's, and I'd just love to know how Maddie is going to approach that. Like, are they a Jennifer Lopez fan? Are they just going to be like, God, what's going on with Jennifer Lopez? Like, just stuff like that. I'm really interested to be like,
yeah,
cool, you're delving into this world, but how far back does your love of stuff that gay men happen to also love
go? Yeah, yeah. How deep is your love, as Take That might say. Was that Take That?
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
And then, yeah, and then subsequently Take That. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Like, because there, you know, there, we just saw, my knowledge doesn't go back that far, as far as yours goes, so...
Right, that's Metamorphosis. Next up is Orion Story, who really threw me around the houses. Like, straight up, I saw, like, Jenna Marbles meets Amanda Bynes. Then I got a very sort of stoner nerd chic chick. Very confident, sat like a boy again, like, as I would sit, like, with one leg crossed over the other, like, with the sort of triangle with the knee. Reference to an Excel spreadsheet. The inner nerd in me loved that. I got a sort of like really sort of lovable, goofy, aloof character like Willem. And for that reason, I think they could do really, really well.
I got a kind of like a hippy dippy sort of vibe off them. Kind of like, even like kind of that Scarlet Envy, or like, you know, first season, yeah, Scarlet Envy with, yeah, the with very little makeup on. I wasn't, like, bearing in mind both Orion Story and Willow Pill, who comes up next, like, both of them are suffering from a certain amount of, like, vignette fatigue. So by the time I got to this, I was really like, okay, right, let's get to the end of it. I didn't love Orion Story. I didn't really like the dress. I thought it was, like, a weird sort of puffer fabric that was whatever. Kind of, I don't know, the colour was a bit odd. I didn't like the one glove. Anyway. Very, very, very low energy, and I didn't really understand some of the jokes. Like, I heard that thing about the Excel spreadsheet, and I was like, what? You have an Excel spreadsheet of all the nails you ever wore? Is that what?
That's what I said, like, originally, but I actually think it was an Excel spreadsheet of all the weird things about her.
Oh.
But it was poorly delivered. But I did... I was like, once I understood the joke, I was like, I'm actually going to forget how you actually mentioned it. I'm just going to stick with somebody. Because I used to keep an Excel spreadsheet of all the books I read. So I just love somebody taking that to the nth degree and, like, logging. Guys, I've lost a nail. Type, 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 type. You know, color, finger it's missing from, date it went missing, location. Like, I love that as a concept. So I just sat with, I just, you know, lived in a fantasy where that actually was the real joke. But I don't know, I just think... A different character to the palette that we normally get.
Very different, like, very, like, set, like, actually both of the last two are very different to the queens that we have had, even in this season. They both seem very sort of, like, in their own lanes. Orion Story, I wasn't particularly excited for based on their video.
Which they were high, right? That's just got.
I think so. Yeah, I would assume that was certainly the case. Okay. When we get on to Willow Pill, again, sort of very strange energy. Was not surprised to see that they had been, you know, a link to Evie Oddly. They gave a bit of that kind of vibe off them. Also with the look, it was kind of like Aidan Zane-ish, kind of like almost, you know, like there was something kind of. like Dracula-ish about them even.
Yeah, I got a hose of teratoma. Maybe it was just the sick narrative, but like that's kind of who I got.
Yeah, so I really liked them. Like I loved their like blue sort of raspberry, blue and yellow raspberry dress. I thought it was really fun with the big huge hat. There was lots about them I really liked, but I kind of was like, I think I'm going to need to see more of your personality. You've intrigued me, but I'm going to need to see more before I'm like sold entirely.
I found them the most difficult to work out, personally. I just was like, God, you could really go anyway. Like, they're bigging you up with the legacy of Evie, but then we've seen drag daughters go tumbling out of the competition really quickly.
Yeah, that is true. Like, it could go...
Kahana Montrese, for example.
Or Dahlia Sin,
my first touchdown.
Well, I guess Aja also didn't go super far in the competition, but yeah.
So, yeah, I could really see them going out at any
point. Loved her arcade walk outfit with the jumper with the big, like, I actually like, I wouldn't personally wear it, but I would like to know where it was sold so I could look at it and think about buying it.
What a compliment. I'd love to go see that on the rack.
and I like the weird sort of googly hat thing or the spinning hat thing.
Yeah, I did this one. It was like the most just kind of like reserved judgment until I see them on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to give me your final four there?
So the top four for me are Cornbread, Carrie Colby, Angie, and Deja Sky.
Oh, wow. We have one in common.
Okay.
Carrie Colby.
Mm-hmm.
Bosco.
Mm-hmm.
Alyssa Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Orion Story.
Wow. I don't know if you picked your bottom four. I did also pick my bottom four.
Yeah, no, I did. Because I have Angie and Deja Sky in my bottom five. I have Maddie, Lady Camden, Jasmine Kennedy, Deja Sky, Angie. Yeah, there's five. Yeah.
So, well, I have my bottom four are Orion Story, Lady Camden, Georges, and Diabetti.
Okay. I mean, for completion, I should probably just do, like, the middle ground. I had them, like, five pre-snatch game, five post-snatch game was kind of how I did it. So my middle of the pack were then Diabetti, June Jambalaya, Georges, Cornbread, and Willow Pill.
Okay. I think, well, if I was going to move anyone up to the bottom, I think Maddie would probably be in that sort of out in the first five. Then Bosco, Dia, June, Alyssa, Jasmine, and Willow are in that next bit. So, you know.
Okay. So, actually, overall, not too different. Just the top four seems quite different.
Yeah, the top four and the bottom four, because we're basically kicking... Because I'm seeing Angie going all the way. And Deja
Is the only person in both of our bottom two Lady Camden?
So, the only one in all of our bottom... In our bottom ones is Lady Camden, and the only one in our... Same one in our top four is Carrie Colby.
And where'd you put Jasmine Kennedy?
In the, like... In the middle bit.
So let's see how it all turns out. Some snippets of the season, like we've said before, I do venture into Reddit for spoilers, but I did it back in October, I think, because once I don't know who any of the queens are, all their names just wash over me, so I actually have no reflection of who does well at this point. So yeah, we're getting Jennifer Lopez as a guest judge, and the runway is the Night of 1,000 Jennifer Lopez's, which will be exciting. I think it's Lizzo and Alicia Keys, we're thinking, are the first two judges.
Yeah, well, Alicia Keys definitely, Lizzo as well. Could be, I mean, a couple of other exciting, well, no. There's like two other guest judges that I saw that I was sort of like, oh, I do love Taraji P. Henson. And Ava Max as well. And then T.S. Madison has been funny the last couple of times they've been on, so I'll be excited to... Although, is T.S. Madison back in as that kind of recurring judge role like they were last time?
I think that was just due to COVID.
I am sorry that we're not going to get more Nicole Byer, though, because I did think that she was excellent on the panel last year.
Yeah. So I'm just looking at episode one... Superstar singer Lizzo guest judges. So they're going to do a talent show in the first two episodes. It's going to be a split two episodes. So half the cast will do a talent show, one person will go home, half the cast do a talent show, and one will go home. So it's not going to be like season 13 where no one goes home until episode 5. That was
too much. That was far, far, far too much.
you may have seen as well, like when people tweet hashtag Drag Race on Twitter, and you may have seen some of the promo, there's a lot of a chocolate bar narrative going on.
Yes.
So the twist with that seems to be, if Reddit is anything to go by, that each of the queens gets to pick a chocolate bar at the start of the show. And when they get eliminated, they open it up. And if they have a golden ticket, they're saved and they don't go home.
Oh, okay.
So one of them has a second chance. So how riggable is this by the producers?
Extremely.
Probably quite riggable. Yeah. But alas, that's the twist. So at least it's not going to be like, don't go, there's a game within a game. But hopefully they tell us up front about this golden ticket malark. And it's not just like, all right, Lady Camden, time for you to open your chocolate bar. And she opens it, it's just chocolate. And she's like, I don't know what this means. And then it's like, ha, 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 at the end of the episode every time.
No, I feel like as if that, I'm assuming that they get their chocolate bars in the episodes, that they all get reunited as a group of 12 probably queens. So then yeah, we'll have had,
so Lady Camden won't get
exactly
one.
Lady Camden won't get an opportunity. That's exactly right. But yes, anyway, I do think that like once they get reunited as a big group, then they'll all pick one, and then it'll be that kind of like after you're being eliminated, they'll be. But it'll be interesting though, because here's the rigamorous part of the whole thing, is that they're like, what if the eventual winner of the competition gets it, and they never lip sync, or they never get like sent home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
then, like, how have they worked that into their structure? So I do feel like as if producers would be just like, get the golden ticket, chocolate bar, cornbread accidentally went home.
Like, yeah, they could rig it one of two ways. One is, like, they just give it to somebody that they want to make sure goes far. Or probably, like, what you're saying there is, who has it? Oh, yeah, cornbread got it. Let's do it, eliminate it when it isn't justified, just so she goes and she opens up the ticket and everyone is relieved. Oh, thank God cornbread is saved.
Yeah. But yes, I think that's a kind of, it's a fun thing. I do find, like, I'm assuming that RuPaul chocolate is disgusting and cheap tasting, though. And I kind of think,
well, Americans can't do chocolate because of the heat, right? Like, that's why Hershey's is awful, is because it has to, like, not melt.
But that's exactly what I was thinking. So I'm like, honestly, part of me is, I currently am obsessed with Tony's Chocolate Only. It is the most delicious chocolate on the planet. Oh, yeah. And I kind of am like, that's what those big RuPaul bars look like. And I'm like, it's not going to taste like that. It's going to be horrible.
Well, while we're talking about chocolate bars that we love, I love the M&M bars. Have you got them?
Oh, you know, you should check the calorie content. I am all, like, you know me, Mr., you know, body positivity, whatever, you know. But I accidentally looked at the calories in one time and it literally was just horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it was what I was having before Christmas. But I just have a square here and a square there.
Oh, see, I ate the whole thing in one sitting. And then I was like, oh my God, that's like 4,000 calories.
But are you excited for the season? Like, some people, when you ask questions, people are saying they're fatigued. Like,
yes.
Are you geared
so
up?
So I think that this is, so I actually am, I'm G'd up and ready to roll, having watched this thing. There is certainly several queens in there where I'm excited to see what they do. I do think it's a pity that it's not going to be on Netflix. I think that is going to lose them, like, yeah, a massive part of the I think that'll lose him, because one or two of the people who replied to us said that actually they don't plan to watch this because they don't want to have to pay for another subscription service. So we'll see whether that impacts the way people watch it, or even like the sort of chatter about it here. And some people have been talking as well about that famous RuPaul fatigue that's been that's been knocking around for the last year or so. But yeah, I'm excited for it, and I think it'll be a good season. It seems like a well balanced cast. It seems like we've got lots of people with lots of confidence. There's no one, even the people who I'm like, definitely you're going early. Like, no one seems like really obviously sort of like a dud.
Yeah, like, except Lady Camden. Like, I kind of feel they've it's interesting casting because I kind of feel like what they've done is it's kind of like an All Stars season's sisters in a way. It's like, who do we like? Well, we like Evie Oddly. Let's get her drag daughter. Oh, well, we love Crystal Method. Let's get her drag daughter. You know, we haven't had someone from Seattle in a while. Let's get them. Let's get a Puerto Rican. Let's get somebody from England. It's like, I feel like the inspiration behind the casting is based on other queens that they know we'd like. Yeah. So it's like the classic, you know, YouTube recommendation. If you like this, then you'll like this. I'm kind of get is the gist, not the going with it, but like, I'm not against that. I think it should be interesting.
I would agree.
And I think season 13, I'm glad they've learned from season 13 and they're not giving us five episodes and no one goes home.
Yeah, I agree with that. You
know, the production is so good, but they were dragging it out, so it's going to be more, it's going to be concise. The format needs to keep changing, I think, for it to feel fresh. So
no, that's true. And I think that they discovered from season 12 that this like double opening works, and I think people do like it. But I think that the no one going home for a really long time like gets frustrating, because you do want that like forward movement within the series. And if you want like story arcs to continue, you need to be able to, like, you need less people there to start getting to know queens in a real way. But yeah, I am excited for it. I will be not resentful about having to get up and watch it on Saturday morning. And especially because I'm isolating, I've got nothing else to do, so.
Right, well, that's it. That's our opinion on those 14 new queens. Let us know your thoughts. You can head over to sissy.pod on Instagram. Do you have the same favorites as us? Do you think Lady Camden's gonna win the whole thing?
Maybe she is. This is it.
Yeah,
Lady Camden is gonna storm it. Let us know that that's what you think.
And there'll be eggs Benedict on our face for. If you want to have a say on your favorite bits of Drag Race from 2021, we have a poll up in our bio on Instagram. It's going to be up until Sunday.
Get in there.
The 9th.
Sissies. The sissies are coming. It's the biggest.
The sissies are here.
The sissies are here. They're happening. You're right now. Have your say. Who was the best judge? Who was the best guest judge? What was the best season? So many questions.
All of those things. And look, Golden Globes have been cancelled this year. So, you know, this will fill the Golden Globes.
Exactly.
Gap in your hole in terms of... gap in your hole? Gap in your life. In terms of stature and prominence in popular culture. So, yeah, let us know over there. Go on Instagram, sis.pod, and there's like a link tree in the bio. You can find them there and you can share our thoughts with us. And we'll share with you the winners in a week's time. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you on Monday with the first episode of Drag Race US season 14 with some fantastic guests.
Woo!
Fingers excited. Crossed. We'll chat to you then. See you. Love you.
Bye. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.